Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. So great to have you here. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. The Dallas Stars, can't say it enough, are the top seed in the West, are your 2024 Central Division champions, and we find out soon whether they'll play the LA Kings or the Vegas Golden Knights. One of the things that you guys have commented on through your comments when you leave them at, let's say, Apple or Spotify or on the Odyssey app, is that you love hearing from the insiders. And I appreciate that, and I've embraced that. And it's great to bring on an insider. This is our official international insider as we go all the way to Slovakia. That's right. We have deep pockets on Spits and Suds. Juraj Kraglik, if I pronounce that right, my friend, how are you?
Yeah, you did it really good. How are you, Gavin?
I'm doing
so
well.
So nice to be here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Juraj is previously with Defending Big D, and now he has his own hockey Substack, and you should follow him on Twitter. And he has lots of good information, and we'll dive into that in a second. But just wanted to get an overview, since we haven't heard from you this year, as far as your thoughts on this Dallas Stars team.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I actually started on the Substack, then I was writing for DBD. So, and then I would say some sort of a work and life got into it. So I didn't have that much time to write as I would love to. But yeah, you called me an insider. I would like to correct you because I really see myself as some sort of a outsider since I'm being like in Europe and I have to follow Stars in let's say a different manner than most of you guys do in Dallas or in Texas area. But I mean this year it was great, right? Wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
The season, it didn't have that much of a loss. So it was like some sort of a smooth ride throughout all year, maybe some small losing streaks over there. But I would say overall, it was a hell of a ride. I have to say, I have to warm my soup, as we say in Slovakia. I kind of predicted it this way. I was thinking before the season that Stars would win the Central, and it would not be like that tight. That was like my bold prediction. And it came to fruition. So, I mean, I'm really happy about this. And let's just hope that the conference win means anything. Because if Dallas faces Vegas in the first round, I don't know, man. Oof. That's pretty tough, right?
Tough.
For a conference
tough.
Winner.
I mean, when you look, I sent this along to our hosts at 105.3 The Fan, and they were talking about this morning, the goal differential versus the LA Kings compared to the goal differential for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's a 100% difference. So, and I mean, it shows in the record. 3 wins against the Kings, no wins against the Knights. So, you know, take the Kings. You want those teams, and you know, when you're the top seed, you deserve an 8th seed like the LA Kings. Not that the LA Kings are going to be, you know, an easy out. There are no easy outs in both the East and West. I can't say it enough, Juraj. This is parity at its finest in the NHL. And I will call you an insider because you actually have tweeted out some great stuff about one of the Stars' top prospects, because I love how you're up on the prospects, Liam Bixel, and what he's doing in Europe. And it's quite impressive as he's made quite the development since leaving Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually using that his move to Sweden to my advantage, because now I can watch his games in, let's say, healthy time.
Yeah.
When the Swedish league starts at 7 p.m. European time. So it's much better than waking up at 3 or 4 a.m. to watch some Stars, let me tell you that. But yeah, I mean, he's made some huge strides. I mean, I won't lie, I was surprised that he made a move at first. Then I sort of like came to a conclusion that he is really, even at 19, he's a man of his own. Like, he really do as he pleases, in not a bad way. I mean, I really mean it in a good way. And I also send it to our mutual friend David Castillo.
Yep.
when he made the move, that Bixel was always some sort of a, I don't know how to put it, maybe as I put it before, like a guy, and he has mind of his own. So he does stuff that he thinks is best for him. and for the long-term development, and I'm totally here for it. I mean, hockey or ice hockey is actually really all about the team, and we always complain like we don't have any personalities there. And I think Leon is really interesting and deep personality. I don't know him personally, just from, let's say, some sources from Sweden. He even when he had that situation with Swiss national team, where he actually preferred his own training regime and also his rest before the pre-tournament sessions that they held, it was visible that he has his own vision of how he should prepare. And some may find it cocky, and actually, I find it really interesting and maybe even empowering because he's 19 and he knows what he wants, and I really like it.
So, from your time watching him, do you think he can take that step next year?
I think he can. I think it would be slow process, because I really see it as some sort of a Thomas Harley situation from last season. I think he will start in the A. I think he will start with Texas. And I really think that as soon as the season goes, he will be the best defender in the AHL. I really think so. And Stars will be holding him back and marinating him as they like to do. See Maverick Bork, for example. And he really could be interesting. I like to use the Jim Neal expression, the free rental acquisition. From the A, because they will need it. They will need his size, and he's showing it right now in the SHL playoffs. I mean, the Rogle team didn't play that many games because they were winning everything. So they right now, I think they are currently on a 13 game winning streak. But every time he plays really, really solid defensively. He tries to chip in offensively. I mean, this is really one part of his game that I would really like him to work on. But I mean, he has Heiskanen, Harley above him on the depth chart, so maybe he won't even need to.
You also have seen goalie prospect for the Stars, Arno Tiefensee. And my question is does he want to stay internationally, or do you think that he would be willing to move to the States and join the Stars? As far as, one of the things that the Stars need to look at, and you've tweeted about this, is does Scott Wedgwood return? Because Wedgwood next year is probably going to be paid, I would say, almost double what he makes now. So it's an interesting decision. I like Matt Murray a lot in the American Hockey League. I think when he's come up, he's performed well. He's an undrafted guy that's just fought for everything. And I like Matt Murray. I'm a Matt Murray fan. But, the one thing that when you look behind Jake Oettinger, there just isn't who's the next. And you always want the next. And the Stars have that in the forwards right now. They have that defensively with Bixel, Maverick Bork coming, and who's he going to replace? But then you look at goaltending, and it's Jake Oettinger right now.
Yeah, I mean they are kind of thin in the net, right? I mean, Matt Murray, I'm not a goalie expert. I really tend to lean on stuff that Sean Shapiro writes, and
Heard of him.
I think even organization-wise, they are a little bit higher on Rémi Poirier, just for his age, because they are pretty much on the same level with Matt Murray, and Poirier is maybe 3 years younger than Murray. Murray is. I mean, he's a great tweener. He's a great option to have, maybe to fill in during injury time. But and he had a shutout in his debut in the NHL on his first start. But I wouldn't really maybe trust him. I don't want to say hard. I don't want to be too harsh. But he could be an NHL option. But yeah, I tweeted some fun stuff because I like the other Matt Murray from Toronto. As some sort of option. It would be fun if Stars had two Matt Murrays on the team, because I really think Scott Wedgwood is fine backup, and that's it. And maybe that's all you need if Jake Oettinger is healthy and sound and playing great. But if this is like embarrassment of riches, right? We are picking on the backup position. It is important, but Yeah, that may be the position of needing to be upgraded. Yeah, for sure. But I just think they will re-sign with Scott Wedgwood. I don't think it will be double, to be quite honest. I think it will be like 1.5. So it will be like 50% raise. Still good. And the main reason is just the relationship with Jake, because you have to think about Jake Ettinger, about how he will be eligible for the extensions since July 1st. So maybe if the Stars want to extend him long term, as they should probably, even though he hasn't had his best season. Actually, it was his worst season so far. But just the asset protection wise, you'd love to have Ottinger long term signed up, and he loves Scott Wedgwood, I mean, as his backup. So I mean, that's probably the way to go for the next season, even though it may be risky, because once Ottinger is down, I mean, hell can break loose, right?
Talk about, and it's a simplistic question, but living in Europe, tell me about the ice difference as far as, the size of the rink. We hear that a lot, but stylistically, because the Stars have struck on some great Ural prospects, Heiskanen, Roope Hintz, even dating back with Jiri Lehtinen and players like that. Tell us the differences from your experience watching and covering the American Hockey League to what you watch and cover now, various European leagues.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, just to reiterate, I forgot to tell you about Arno Tiefensee. but we can merge these two questions. I mean, you mentioned all the Finnish prospects, and I don't want to like be not precise, but I think in Finland, their size of the rink is, from the European countries, the most similar to the American Hockey League, because they have, I would say, in on the European scale, the smallest rinks. I mean, that could be the reason why some of the Finnish players are able to assimilate so quickly, like Joel Kiviranta, let's say, or maybe even maybe even the prospect they signed from Finland now, Arttu Hiiri. So that may be his case. You mentioned Heiskanen, Hintz. Also Miro is not human, but all of them came through adjustment period in the A. But I just think the way that the Finland actually revolutionized the approach to prospects in, let's say, last 10 years, helped them grow some of the players, like Rantanen, like even Tolvanen, Hintz, Aho, Sasha Barkov, and others. So yeah, I mean, what they did, actually, they totally changed the approach to development, maybe around 2007, 2008, something like that, maybe even sooner. I'm not 100% sure about this. And I know this because Slovakia kind of adopted their style of revolutionizing how to deal with prospects, how to deal with young players, what to teach them, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I mean, Finland is a really fascinating country, and I really like how they are developing the hockey players in there. And I can't wait to see Stars in Tampere if possible. So that would be a great experience as well.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty amazing to watch. And I also love how the fans get after it in the EuroLeagues. That's pretty special to watch. You
Yeah, there
see,
is a great culture of
oh, like soccer or football.
like choreos. I mean, some of you, if you maybe watched the Swedish playoffs, they are clapping in sync all the game and singing their songs. I mean, it's really like soccer, like football. Yeah, I mean, I really dig it. What I don't like is the size of the rink. I mean, yeah, it enables players to have more time to play more with the puck, as we see, for example, in the KHL. But hockey is a contact sport, and I really like how, when you have no space, you have to think fast, and that's really the differentiator from good players to great players.
Well, I'm not a professional scout, but one of the things that I say regarding juniors, I watch tape, and then I say, yes, all prospects look good in junior hockey because you're right. You don't have players coming at you. You have a lot more open ice to show off your skills. And so I agree with you regarding the European game as well. You tweeted out the other day, and I thought it was an excellent tweet. You said, after trading away a lot of the picks in recent years regarding the Stars, this is the most efficient way of infusing talent to the prospect pool. Baby Stars will be fun to watch again. And then you go into the Stars free agent signings and five recent signings. So pretty interesting. And as you mentioned, highlighted by R2 Hirey on a two-year entry-level contract.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Hirey because he really is improving steadily. Like, he wasn't that much of a, let's say, scorer in the Liga, Finnish Liga, I mean, 1 or 2 years ago. But he really, like, has a complete game for such a young player. I mean, he's only 23. And he will be 23 because, I mean, he just had his 23rd birthday. And he really could be some sort of a... I see as some sort of a bigger and meaner Joel Kiviranta with a good shot. So so I know Joel Kiviranta was a fan favorite in Dallas. So R2 Hirey could be a really interesting guy to fill in maybe on a forward line. So, yeah, I mean, he probably will start in Texas, down in Austin, or Cedar Park, but I really think that he really could be something. I mean, these are the kind of moves that you need to do when you don't have much picks. But again, like, if you are a contender, do you really need picks? Because, you know, when you pick from third, fourth, fifth round, most of those guys either will never see the NHL or they will see it maybe in 3, 4, 5 years. And what you need reinforcements right now, and you need reinforcements that needs to they need to be able to jump in if needed, because injuries happen. I would say the crisis with injuries that Dallas already had a whole lot of in the last 2 years. I mean, last 2 years were really interesting injury wise because they were also almost not injured at all. So that meant that players like Stankoven, Hirey get their chances later than they would probably got. So it was interesting, but it's always great to have this kind of signings. And also from the NCAA, I mean, Ben Kraus in goalie in net looks good. He played, I mean, 3 games for Texas Stars. He was great. And the other prospect I liked was Justin Hrikovian. I asked around some scouts, because I'm no scout myself, but I asked around some scouts that I trust with their opinion. And some of them say his play reminds them of Barry Boulay from Tampa Bay. So it's really interesting find. And this is really what you need to do, because you need to keep filling that pipeline of young players that that are able to jump in. And Jim Neal, I mean, I was criticizing him in the past. I mean, rightfully so. I think so.
I agree.
But
I was
last 2 or 3 years, and also counting with that 2021 draft, 2017 draft, he really is probably the best GM over the last 2 or 3 seasons.
When we were chatting beforehand, you were telling me about, you know, we were talking about Slovakia, and I looked up. I think you're being pretty humble. Listen to these names for Slovakian hockey. Peter Stastny, Marian Hossa, Peter Bondra, Marian Gabrick, Pavel Dimitriev, Miroslav Shatan, Zygmunt Palfy, Big Z on defense, Zdeno Chara. I mean, it just goes on and on. You should be
don't forget my namesake, Juraj Slafkovský.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. I had to end the list at some point because it keeps going and going. Thomas Tatar, Richard Zednik. These are all terrific. Ladislav Nagy, former Dallas Star. Andre Sekera. I mean, it just goes on.
That was a deep cut with Ladislav Nagy as a former Dallas Star. I appreciate that.
It was a very limited Dallas Star, wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody keeps asking me, like, around me in Slovakia, like, why do you cheer for Dallas? I mean, because there were no Slovak players almost over there. I mean, usually people around me cheer for Penguins or Chicago Blackhawks because of the Marian Hossa, or the Rangers, you know, the usual stuff. But I mean, I picked Dallas, as far as I remember, in 2003 because of a guy that has a statue in front of the AAC right now, as we speak. So that was kind of my go-to because I used to play the NHL 2003 game. That was my intro to the hockey when I was 10 years old, and I immediately loved Mike Modano and number 9, and then Marty Turco, and then Yura Ledonen, and then Sergei Zubov. I totally loved the team because the team was awesome. The team was really good. And as for the Slovak players, yeah, I mean, there were Sekera. I mean, there was also Lubomir Sekerash, and there was Robert Petrovicki in the 90s. But that's really a deep, deep cut to mention Robert Petrovicki as a Dallas Stars player. So, I mean, most of the people probably don't even know who that is.
That is a deep cut, my friend. That's a very deep cut. All right. How can Stars find you? Well, on Twitter, the easiest way is at Eurocrawl. So Jurokral. Well, thanks for all the international info, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And finally, on today's Spits and Suds, I wanted to take a moment. We talked about it on the post game after the Blues game about the final game in Arizona. As we know it, possibly expansion in the future, but as of now, the Board of Governors will vote and will relocate the team under new ownership to Utah, specifically Salt Lake City. It's great for the players, hopefully great for the employees that get to go, but left behind is a fan base that wanted to keep their team, that loved their team, and broadcasters. And Paul Bissonnette of Spittin' Chiclets and TNT, massive stick tap. I thought he did a great job describing his emotions after last night's broadcast on the TNT broadcast. And I wanted to play this for you because I think it sums it up well. And sometimes we forget that hockey here in DFW is a community, and it starts at the local Stars rinks. And you get people like Hannah Bilka, who comes up through the ranks, or, you know, just players that played in the DFW area, whether it's the Jones brothers out of Frisco. I mentioned Hannah Bilka. There are so many now that are coming through the ranks, and that started because of the Stars organization. The question becomes, is there an Austin Matthews if the Coyotes aren't in Arizona? And to have a child develop interest in a game, there has to be something shown to that child or the facilities in which the child can embrace the game. And that's what happened in Arizona. So it's a family and it's a community. And I thought longtime Coyotes broadcaster Todd Walsh summed it up perfect. And I wanted to play this for you because I wanted to celebrate Todd because he does such a good job celebrating the Arizona hockey community.
But I do want to say this. I've been thinking about what I'm about to say for a long time. I never dreamt that I'd be saying it under these circumstances, however, although I feared it. And this will be said in lieu of an ode to the Coyotes that we have done so many times over the years. I'm going to simplify things. And in a moment, we're just going to get to a chalkboard. An old school chalkboard. But first, I want to tell you a short story. In the summer of 1996, I was working at a rock station here in town, 93.3 KDKB, on the Rock and Roll Ride Home. Essentially, I got to listen to rock and roll, interview rock stars, and go to rock concerts and get paid for that and do a couple of sports casts. But I always felt like, and I think I knew, that I had something more to give. And that summer, my life changed forever because my general manager walked into the production room where I was editing something with a grease pencil, a razor blade, and some tape. His name is Chuck Artique. He was the general manager. He has long since passed. But he walked in and said, "You're not going to believe this. We just cut a deal. You know that hockey team that's coming from Winnipeg? They want to do something totally different. They want to change the whole paradigm of broadcasting. There's a new television network coming to town. That was Fox Sports Arizona. And he wanted to put his hockey games on a rock station on FM. And I said to Chuck, "That's great for us." And then he said, "Hey, and we have that AM signal, 1060 KUKQ. We can do the pre and post game shows." And I said, "That's great for us." And then he said, "And we want you to be a part of it." And I looked at him and I said, are you asking me or are you telling me? And then I paused and said, but if we're going to do this, we got to do this right. First of all, I don't want to be stuck in a studio tossing it to the guys at the rink for the rest of my life or taking phone calls late into the night. I'd already done that. But I said, we have to be committed. These will be hockey pioneers. We got to tell their story. We got to be embedded with them. We got to go out on the road, be on the charter flight, the team bus, and the team hotels. And they bit. On December 14th, I stood in front of Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto in 1996. The Coyotes won 5-2. Keith Tkachuk won. Scored two goals. Jeremy Roenick had one. They had 58 penalty minutes, and I've been on the road covering this team ever since. And I will say this, it's not about goals and moments and memories that are about what I saw. What I have learned along the way in the last three decades that hockey is about people, and they are amongst the best people in the world. Personally speaking, in 2000, when my father died, I couldn't afford a trip to New York the next morning after he passed on a Sunday, but it was my broadcast partner, Tom Curvers, who showed up at the airport and handed me 50,000 flight miles and said, go home. 15 years later, when my mom died in Rochester, New York, I went back to collect all of her belongings, and I got a text. I was all alone in that house. You can imagine that feeling. You may have lived it. Teppo Newman texted me. He was a member of the Buffalo Sabres, and he said, I just got on the New York State Thruway. We're having breakfast in Rochester. I don't want you to be alone. That's what hockey is all about. And hockey gave me a personal and professional purpose. And I don't know how to thank it, so I'm going to thank it right now. I wrote once that a good story lasts forever. However, sometimes the ending just isn't what you want it to be. It is up to us to figure out the joy of the story, no matter how it ended. That's why we want to read and feel more of them. That's why people continue to write. What I said earlier, I'll always remember, if you're good to the game will be good to you. So in closing, I'm going to go back to a story that I love to tell. It's about the Hall of Fame coach, the late, great Fred Shero, back in the mid-70s, the head coach of the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers. He walked into the room before the Stanley Cup clinching game, and he walked up on a chalkboard, and he wrote this. It's my favorite quote in all of hockey. Win today, and we walk together forever. Think about that. Win today, and we walk together forever. Well, the Coyotes, as you know, they never won a cup, but we went through a whole heck of a lot together. So I'd like to amend that chalkboard with a virtual chalkboard circa 2024 as I got a couple of guys to moonlight, Tom Elsner and Josh Kelman, who put this together. And this is my message to you, Coyote fans who have been there since day one. And it's simply this. I hope you'll enjoy this particular last ode to the Coyotes from my own chalkboard. Because we walk together forever as Coyote fans. And that's the story, really. That's my chalkboard. Had the best seat in the house. We all did here on this crew. We enjoyed the ride, and we hoped you did too. And I'm going to quote a song from a band, The Association. The song is Everything That Touches You. And they sang, our love is real, and we show the feel. And we have done that for 28 years. So Godspeed to all that were involved and who invested in Arizona Coyotes hockey.
Massive stick tap to Todd Walsh on his goodbye to Arizona Coyotes hockey. And I want to take this moment because of that to say thank you for making Spits and Suds part of the DFW hockey community. Truly appreciate it. We'll continue to post these episodes. You guys are growing this podcast. You guys are our best teammates. We're in this together, and we absolutely love you. Sean Shapiro, our NHL insider, will give us a proper playoff preview because we've been given improper ones all week. Sean will join us tomorrow on Spits and Suds. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.